This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. France the Army.
What is up, everybody? It's the Junkyard Dogcast. I'm Jake Rowe with Dogs 24/7. With me, Kip Adams, also from Dogs 24/7. And listen, we haven't been able to get together for a podcast, one reason or another, guys. I'm telling you, it's kind of been like, I don't know. It's just kind of, we've been picked off at every turn over the last week, 10 days, 2 weeks. It's been absolutely nuts. But we're back, and hopefully. Our aim is to get kind of a little bit back on a little bit of a normal schedule with the season approaching, with preseason camp on the way. We're going to talk about preseason camp. We're going to talk about SEC Media Days. That was a week ago. And we're going to talk about the commitment of Branson Robinson late last week and kind of what that means for Georgia in recruiting. And you know, I've also got a little story I'm going to share from SEC Media Days that was kind of an off-the-record but shareable thing with JT Daniels. But, Kip, let's just jump right into this thing and talk about SEC Media Days. There were some, and, you know, I don't know with our CBS affiliation that we can, you know, discuss exactly which books they were, but there were some books, maybe just one book, I'm not sure, that vaulted JT Daniels up the Heisman odds after SEC Media Days. Was there anything? Now, I've got my own opinion on this, but I was actually there. Were you privy to anything watching it on television that would make you, you know, that would kind of give you the impression or give you a reason to think, yeah, that's why they pushed him up the Heisman rankings?
I mean, as far as Vegas odds go, I mean, they're usually, when those numbers change, you usually open your eyes a little bit and kind of start looking around, start searching it in the internet to see if, you know, maybe something's changed, whether, you know, injury or, you know, this, the overall outlook, projections change, someone has a huge game, things of that nature. I can't really put a, you know, a tangible reason on why speaking at SEC Media Days would move the needle as far as Vegas is concerned. But, you know, just with last year and how the offseason went, how it was different in so many different ways, being able to return to the SEC Media Days and kind of get, you know, a closer look at a lot of the featured players at these programs, the players that are selected to represent each of these schools. JT, obviously, this was the first time a lot of people got to really see him and hear him talk as, you know, basically the face of Georgia's program right now, you know, as a second-year player and, you know, a former transfer. And obviously, JT is, you know, he kind of marches to the beat of a different tune. He's got, you know, his own personality, his, you know, his own way of looking at everything. But also, he's a fascinating interview. I mean, it just the way that he approaches not just the sport, but just overall, you know, being a student athlete and being at Georgia, he's very just captivating the way that he handles, you know, the media and all the questions. So I think he did an outstanding job. Nothing but positive feedback and reviews from all the media. I'm not sure that there's a huge value in that just as far as, you know, nailing the interview is great, but it doesn't really tell you all there is to know about someone's ability to, you know, to play the game. It, I mean, if anything, I guess it tells you that maybe he's got poise and he carries himself well. But other than that, you know, I didn't really take anything from it. I thought it was very interesting. I immediately saw that the numbers had changed a little bit. I guess Vegas is saying, yeah, this guy has it. He has the it factor, and he has what it takes to maybe be that difference maker for Georgia quarterback that they've kind of been searching for and that everyone's been waiting to see if Georgia can get a, you know, a dynamic quarterback, a leader who can take them, you know, to the mountaintop. And then if Vegas is saying that he might be the one, then that's definitely something to keep an eye on without having played a single snap of the 2021 season.
Yeah, I definitely that's kind of my thinking there too, Kip, is like, okay, well, Vegas saw something. Those guys really aren't in the business of being wrong. Also, it could be a situation where they kind of want to see what happens. You know, they may move the line a little bit or move those odds and kind of see how it goes. But I know from being there in person, and it's the first time, by the way, incredibly nice to be back in person, talking to these guys in person, talking to Kirby in person. It was just good. It was good to see everybody and have a chance. We joked around with Kirby before our interview with him a little bit and cracked up. Somebody said something about being good looking, and Kirby said, "You guys ain't that," something like that. He you could tell, you know, even he was able to kind of relax a little bit, and I thought he was great in our session with him before they took the stage. But you know, in meeting JT Daniels for the first time, I was super impressed, man. Like, I just was. Like, he carries himself so differently. And I don't even want to just say confidently. There's a little bit of a swagger there. I mean, I know confidence goes with that, but there's a swagger there. There's a seriousness there. There's a realness there that, you know, is pretty impressive. You know, you look at a guy like Jake Fromm or Aaron Murray, I always thought that those guys were impressive, but they were rehearsed. JT Daniels doesn't seem rehearsed. He's coming off the cuff. He's kind of telling you how he really feels about things. I mean, he had a quote where he talked about his first little bit of practice there with Georgia. And he said that, you know, there were times whenever he was running the scout team where he was like, I don't know if I'm meant to play this game because of, you know, guys like Jordan Davis and Adam Anderson and you know, Lewis Seen out there running around. He's like, I've never really seen anything like this. I don't know if I'm meant to play this game. And you know, that was a very candid comment. And the story, the kind of the thing I wanted to share is, so, you know, obviously first time meeting him in person, I'd never seen him. Automatically you try to size him up. You know, he's listed as 6'3" on Georgia's you know, chart. And he's kind of bent over a little bit trying to fix his pants. And I don't really know how tall he is at that point. And so, you know, we're talking, I was like, hey, I guess it's the first time we've ever really met you in person. He goes, yeah, I didn't really think about that. Now, you know, I'm not 6'3", you know, and I kind of looked at him weird. And he goes, yeah, 6'1" is some change, maybe 6'2", not 6'3", but I appreciate it though. And I was like, wow. I mean, that kind of got it off on a foot where you're like, you know, I'm dealing with an honest dude here. And, you know, I thought that Kirby Smart's comments about him talking about how, yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, he may have grown, you know, grown some mentally and in the offense, but his main growth has been physically, with mobility, with strength, with weight. I thought that was very, very telling as far as the kind of offseason he's had, you know, listening to Jordan Davis talk and those things. But it was a lot of it centered around JT Daniels. And Kip, I wanted to go real quick to another couple topics. Obviously, Eric Gilbert's cleared in terms of academically, that Kirby Smart expects him to be eligible. Rusty's reported that. I've reported that. We have all kind of known that for a little while. George Pickens, Kirby says that he's running straight line and he's progressing, you know, really well. I think it's very, very good for Georgia that George Pickens in July still very much engaged in this whole thing. What are your thoughts on that?
It's better than the alternative. I mean, I think at this point, all you can really do is kind of, you know, keep marching on and hope for no setbacks and see, you know, what the next day brings. And so, that's what George is doing. He's continuing to work. I mean, he's continued to be an active part of the program. You know, it definitely beats the alternative. We saw last year how big of an impact having someone opt out of a season can make, you know, on a program and their overall just, you know, being thrown curveball after curveball in that regard. I think that George is doing everything you could hope for as far as just continuing to be a teammate, continuing to, you know, be active in George's off season as he continues to try to recover from a major injury. So will he suit up and put pads on for Georgia and take the field again? I think you can't answer a question like that in July. As a wise man on this pod has said often, you know, those questions will be answered. But I think right now, everything that you could hope for with George Pickens and his recovery, you know, you've gotten. And Georgia has bounced back as far as attacking that transfer portal and adding another impact pass catcher in Eric Gilbert. But, you know, if they're able to get Pickens back whatever time this season, would be huge. This offense, you add another guy like that, if he's able to go out there and be, you know, 80-85% of what he's done the first couple of years in Athens, then I think Georgia's offense could, you know, be really, really, really difficult to defend, as if, you know, it already projects to be one of the most talented offenses in the country. But I don't think he could really, you know, gain too much from what's been said so far about Georgia's progression from the injury, other than that there's nothing bad, you know, no negative. And that's all you can hope for when you're talking about rehab, you know, just like with other players that are returning from injury in Georgia's wide receiver room. You look at Dominic Blaylock, you look at Marcus Rosemy, Jack Saint, you know, no news is good news with those guys as well, as you just continue to hope that they can get back on the field and get back to where they were this fall, because two other guys that are immensely talented and figure to potentially help Georgia win some football games this fall.
You know, one of the things with George Pickens, and this is something my antenna is up on this at all times, every update we get, every time we get an update from Kirby, every time I talk to a source and hear that George Pickens is still locked in, obviously the chances for, you know, in my mind go up that George is going to get him back, because I really do believe, and I told multiple people this at SEC Media Days, you know, I had a few reporters that covered different teams, you know, hey, what do you think is going to happen with George Pickens? You know, is he going to be, and most of them weren't even thinking about the fact that, yeah, you know, if he's going to miss a decent portion of the season, maybe he just does the 2021 version of opting out, protects his draft interest, and enters the NFL draft. Rusty has said, you know, before, and you know, obviously, you know, we know Rusty real well. We know Rusty's connected, and we respect him. But Rusty has said on multiple occasions that, you know, he'll be surprised if George Pickens is back in a George uniform. No inside knowledge there. Just one of those things that you know, kind of a gut feeling, kind of a, you know, playing the odds type thing. And I understand that line of thinking, but I feel like with every single update, with every single time that I hear from Kirby or a source that George Pickens is still locked in, still engaged, still working his way back, still doing stuff with the team, I think the chances get greater that he's going to be back with the team. Because, you know, listen, when a few years ago when Devod Wilson tore his ACL, and I may have mentioned this on a podcast, I know I've mentioned it on our board, when Devod Wilson tore his ACL during spring drills, he was ready, physically cleared to come back like November, maybe late October. But Devod Wilson was a true freshman. He didn't know what to do. He had to get up to speed on the – he had to get a lot of reps that he had just hadn't gotten. And so that took him some time, and it wasn't until the bowl game that he made an appearance and he played well. George Pickens doesn't need that. It's a different animal for him. He understands the offense. He knows what to do. He's been in, you know, been played. Now, will they play him the first week he's cleared? Heck, I don't know. Probably not. But he's going to get a lot of work, a lot of non-contact work, you know, at one of those checkpoints there at the very end when he's cleared to do most of the things, but maybe not everything. And so I think all of that's really important. And like I said, with each passing day, with each, you know, update that he's still engaged,
He wants to be out there. I mean, that's who George is. It's, you know, it's not – you can't hold it against someone who's coming off an injury and looks and knows that they have a chance to be drafted soon and just, you know, goes down that route of preparing for that outlet. And George might decide that down the road. I mean, at any point.
That can happen at the drop of a hat.
But we know the competitor George Pickens is, and we know that – you see him out there in the field. You've watched it get the better of him in games. You know, you think about that Georgia Tech game and how he basically just took the guy into the wall, you know, and that was that competitive spirit that he has. And it's something that we've really never questioned as far as, you know, his love for the game and his desire to go out there and dominate his opponent, and seeing that what Georgia has in front of them and the opportunity Georgia has to play in some really important games, you know, potentially in December and January, if they can take care of business, is got to be motivating him, you know, maybe not as much, but near as much as that next level. And while Georgia's got great film to showcase to NFL scouts, you know, he's not a finished product, and he still has a chance. You know, maybe he's a late second, third round pick right now. He still has money on the table that he could make by coming back and showcasing his ability to not just come back from injury, but to shine in big games when Georgia needs him most, and really put out more film for them to evaluate. And maybe he puts himself into that, you know, right around the end of the first round, somewhere in that, you know, 20 to 35 range. And I mean, we're talking about multiple millions of dollars that he has the chance to make. And also, as we said, kind of etch out that last chapter in his story in college as being someone who came back as quickly as possible from a major injury and helped his program compete potentially, you know, for SEC and national championships. Like I said, it remains to be seen if that's even something he's able to do, but he hasn't closed that book yet, and so I don't think we should either.
I'm telling you, undefeated, one loss, Georgia. George Pickens is cleared in early November. I think he comes back. I just do. I'm starting to get that feeling. And I think George Pickens would definitely come on and try to get Georgia get there. And I think George Pickens would benefit greatly from it, because you look and there are a lot of 0-1-2 catch games. He hasn't played. He doesn't have a big body of work with a quarterback that really kind of fits his system. You know, he had Fromm as a freshman and they had some good times together, but you know, George was inconsistent. That was Fromm's worst year. I think a good finish to the 2021 season with JT Daniels would be good for him. And I think also clearing some of those mental hurdles, taking a few hits, making it through a few games, and then, you know, getting a chance to, if he does decide to go pro at that point, preparing for the NFL combine, you know, after playing in some football games, I think there's just a lot of good that can come of it. Obviously there's a chance to get injured too, and that's something they've got to evaluate. That's a kind of count your calls type deal and something you work out with yourself and your family. But I just believe if George is very much in contention, UGA is very much in contention. I feel like my George and Georgia's are getting a little bit run together here. But I feel like if UGA is in contention when George gets cleared, I think he's going to come back. And I think he's got a chance to come back and play well. I think his game translates well, you know, to JT Daniels' style, evidenced by the fact that, you know, he averaged, I think, right at 100 yards a game or over 100 yards a game with JT Daniels at quarterback. Let's jump into a break here real quick, Kip. Let's talk about kind of like preseason camp coming up and then Georgia's latest commitment, a four-star running back out of Mississippi, Branson Robinson.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus.
Magical!
Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
All right, Kip, we got preseason camp coming up. We got a big recruiting weekend coming up. But a couple things I really wanted to talk about camp and kind of maybe relay it back to SEC Media Days. And I wanted to ask you this question. And this is one you're not prepared for because I'm going to ambush you with this one. When preseason camp comes and goes, are Georgia's three transfers starters for the 2021 season? Are Georgia's three, and by starters I mean, you know, 50 snap a game type guys. Are Georgia's three transfers, Eric Gilbert on offense, Tyke Smith and Darian Kendrick on defense, are all three of those 50 snap a game starters?
I think it's pretty clear that these guys are set up to be starters at Georgia, and that's why Georgia attacked the transfer portal the way they did, as Kirby Smart said. I mean, when you have a roster like this, you don't just take guys in the portal to take them. You take them because you need them. You need them to come in and play a major role. Now, you know, when you start getting nitpicky with the starter role, depending on what formation Georgia comes out on offense, you know, maybe he's not Harry Gilbert isn't technically a starter. You mentioned how the snap count as well. I mean, it all really depends on the looks they're getting out there, but even still, I don't think for the most part, it really matters what the defense gives you out there. You put Eric Gilbert on the field and let him go in motion and see what that defense is doing at that point. If there's a cornerback on him, then let it fly. I think Tyke Smith, he's just got outstanding film. I don't see a situation where he doesn't start, you know, likely in that star position just because of how great of a fit it is and what he's already shown production-wise. Darian Kendrick, I guess, is the kind of the wild card a little bit there. It's definitely a position that Georgia needs experience and somebody who can come in immediately and help them with a team like Clemson in that season opener. Talent-wise, experience-wise, you know, he is at the top of the board there. It all comes down to, you know, is he coming in focused? And which Darian Kendrick are you going to get? I think Georgia throws him out there to see what they have in the season opener. So I think if he comes out there and plays well, you know, I think he could stick on what cornerback side for the rest of the season. And the other two, I think those guys are – I'm not going to lock them in because Kirby hates that, and it's always a competition. Even though if you got guys penciled in at starters across the board, he's still going to want them to get pushed by the other players on the roster. Obviously, Georgia has a lot of talented guys that in the receiving core and in the secondary that could easily make a move and start. But you know, to answer your question, I say yes. I think all three of those guys are set up to start. And they're going to have to, you know, kind of earn it and be productive out there. But I don't see really a situation where if all goes the way it should, that those guys aren't double-digit starters by the end of Georgia's season.
You know, I believe that all three of them are going to be starters. I believe all three of them are going to be 50-snap-a-game guys. I'm starting to get to the point where my expectations are the highest for Eric Gilbert. Just hearing how JT Daniels talked about him, I think Georgia's going to use him all – in multiple different ways, and I wasn't sure how he fit in early on, but I love the idea of wide receiver, tight end, slot, you know, a little bit of everything. And I you know, just hearing some of the things that JT Daniels had to say about him led me to believe that he's really standing out. He's really doing some good things, and you know, we've reported over at Dawgs 24/7 he's having a great summer. I think Darian Kendrick is going to play a ton simply because, you know, Kirby Smart kind of low-key mentioned the fact that Darian Kendrick had played in a defense that does things secondary-wise that are very similar to what Georgia does. In the same token, he mentioned something that we've mentioned before, which is Tyke Smith doing something a little bit different than what Georgia's done at West Virginia. Now, he's playing for his defensive backs coach, but I don't think that means a whole lot when you're doing something completely different. And Tyke Smith is the guy I have a few doubts about in terms of his playing time. Now, I think he's still a very good player. I still think he's going to play a lot. But I could also see Georgia kind of doing a timeshare like they've done in the past at that star position. Tyke playing 25, 30, 40 snaps a game maybe. Maybe even as many as 50. But maybe sharing some time with a Latavius Brenny or with a third cornerback or with Adam Anderson in different roles, different times, different places. So that's kind of the way I look at that. I just kind of wanted to get your take on that because obviously, you know, Kip, I don't know if you can believe this or not. Those three guys, their transition has been really smooth. They're fitting in great, according to Kirby Smart, JT Daniels, and Jordan Davis. I know you probably didn't expect that. I know you probably expected, you know, hey, he hasn't grown on us yet. You know, we're just not really liking him a whole lot right now. I know you expected them to say something like that, but they told us that they're smoothly fitting in and they're ready to go and they're veterans and lots of good stuff and they're really excited about them. But, you know, that to me, you know, just kind of hearing just in the specifics of what they had to say, Kirby's comments on the DBs and then JT Daniels' comments on Eric Gilbert really kind of raised my eyebrows a little bit.
Counter question.
Yeah, what's up?
Throw one to you. Over-unders, people love over-unders. Eric Gilbert, 40 catches, 500 yards, 5 touchdowns. You taking the over or under?
I mean, that's kind of loaded, man. I got to take over on all – I got to take a – that's like an over-under parlay, right?
Hey, man, you got to earn it. I mean, we're not handing these out.
What am I – okay, if I hit, what does it pay?
You get your money back.
No, I'm not saying I'm saying hypothetically. Are we talking like plus 5,000?
No, I'll give that one probably a plus 300 on that one.
Oh, you giving me 3-1 odds on that?
That's pretty good, man. Oh, I like man. It.
If he gets
the first one, he's probably getting the second one. Those are kind of tied. I mean, he's gonna get probably what 14
yeah now you're getting into my, now you're getting into my golf bet and stuff. Now you're getting into my when I bet somebody to go top 20, top 10, top 5 and win all in the same
two
all
of them the are pretty week. Close together. It's the third one you got to really, I mean, if he doesn't hit the first one, he's probably done for the second one anyway. So
well,
I mean,
he okay.
had 35 catches for 368 yards in what, 8 games? Was he play 8 games last year? Let's say he plays 13 this year. That's a natural progression, second year in college as well. I mean, some would say he probably went a little low on the numbers. I mean, the touchdown catch is really – that's really where it's just you never really know. You know, maybe they're putting two on him and, you know, it opens something else up. What situation is George in? Or, you know, are they right there at the 10? How many – you know, it's so random on the touchdown catch, but – I mean, again, you look at Kyle Pitts as a sophomore. He went over on catches and yards. He got the push on the touchdown. I think that's the toughest one. 5 touchdowns is probably a push situation, but you know, hey, that's still a pretty good parlay if you know you got a good chance to get 2 out of 3.
And technically, I guess it's not a parlay because if it was a parlay, I could pick over under on each one of them individually.
You're welcome to do that as well. I'll let you have that one.
Yeah, the over and the over hitting on all three wouldn't pass. So anyway, I was just kind of messing around with you on that. I don't really care what the odds are. I'm taking over. Even if it was even money, I'd take the over. Or if it's even money, I wouldn't take the bet at all. Probably wouldn't take.
I wouldn't take the bet, but I agree with you.
I wouldn't take the bet at all if it was anything less than 10-1. And then I would probably take the over on all three. You know, just to bet 10 and make 100 or bet 100 and make 1,000. So, but you know, I like that. And I think that's a good place to set it too, because you know, the one area that I do think is a little kind of, you know, if you're looking at them proportionally, the one area I do see is 40 catches for 500 yards. I think Eric Gilbert's got a chance to average 15 yards a grab this year. And so I think that's an area, you know, we talk about patrolling the middle of the field. He's not really a short catch and run type guy. So I think he's going to do it. And I think the touchdowns may come a little bit more naturally to him than the other numbers do. Just because of his ability to do some stuff in the red zone and to box defenders out and his ability to be a mismatch if Georgia wants to run one of those heavy packages and bring him in tight and then try to find a mismatch with Eric Gilbert down near the goal line. I think that's a very good way to kind of exploit teams, trying to come in and stop the run. So he offers Georgia a lot of different ways to attack teams. So I'd take the over on all three. All right, let's talk Branson Robinson, man. Man, I tell you what, Kip, I've seen the videos of this kid lifting weights and all that stuff. I've seen it all. But seeing some of the pictures that came from that commitment ceremony, I mean, there's the Nick Chubb comparisons and things like that. Rusty on CBS Sports HQ compared him to Mark Ingram. I don't know that I've ever really seen a high school running back quite put together like this. And I think it's a major get for Georgia. And, you know, listen, we talk to people, we have sources. I've got a connection very close to this one who says that this has been a Del McGee dig his heels in, go all in after this kid for months. And that whenever he made that decision, when he shut, you know, decided to commit to Georgia, shut his recruitment down, Del McGee, very happy man. What are your thoughts on Branson Robinson?
Just to go back to your other statement, I'm actually frightened by how strong Branson Robinson is. I remember, obviously, you know, Nick Chubb, very athletic and you know, his weight room numbers are always eye popping, but I just think at this stage to be able to deadlift 720 pounds, I mean, that's just a ridiculous number. I mean, the bench press, sure. I mean, being 370, you know, that's huge. And the squat, I mean, I think he probably could squat more. It's tough to really, you know, to get some of these maxes in the high school, you got to be safe out there. And so 630, he probably, you know, could have done a lot more than that. But at some point, you got to stop the kid, you know, and preserve him for the actual football season and his future. And that's I remember that with Nick Chubb as well. It was just a situation where, listen, you could probably keep going, but let's not keep going. Let's make sure that you're able to keep playing football. And then that's when I see 720 pounds deadlift, that's what I'm thinking, like, how do you let him keep going? I mean, at some point, you know, that's enough for a football player. And I just think that's kind of where he is in the deadlift. So as far as the strength is concerned, yeah, the Madden rating, I mean, it's got to be in the 90s for him. As far as a football player, yeah, I mean, the film looks great. He's very productive. I love the balance and vision that he has, and I think it's obviously a huge get. This is a guy that Del McGee zeroed in on early, as you said, and got his guy. It's an outstanding running back group once again for Del McGee, and I just think you look at Georgia when they bring in two running backs in the class, they've done pretty well, you know, with the running back duos in the past, and Jordan James is a great complement to what Branson Robinson brings to the table, a guy that can kind of do a little bit of everything. So, George, we're talking about Georgia opening up the offense, the passing attack. I don't think that the ground game's going anywhere. And, if anything, I think that the future is as bright as it's ever been under Kirby Smart, just as far as recruiting that position and looking at what these guys might be able to do at Georgia. So, I think it's a huge addition for Georgia. Branson's a guy that – gets compared to a lot of different guys just because of his size being, 5'10", 220 plus pounds and being as strong as he is. You can throw out all those names. You can throw out the Mark Ingram, the Trent Richardson, just guys that were able to carry the load and be feature backs in the SEC, at school like Georgia. Josh Jacobs is the guy that coming out of college, I don't think, you didn't come into the college with the same size as Branson, but you just look at his game and what he was able to do, you know, at Alabama, that's a guy that if you're looking at a, you know, potential ceiling for what Branson brings to the table, I think his running style is outstanding, just as a guy that can, he can slash if he needs to, but he can impose his will at any time when he wants to, just because of the vision, the bend, and his ability to really be a one cut bell cow lead back in the SEC. You have to be decisive, but you also have to, you have to know where the hole should be and not, you know, not fall victim to basically the false holes. You see a gap open up that really isn't the, you know, shouldn't be there, isn't the intention of the run. Sometimes a guy will bounce in there and it fills up immediately because that's not the intention of the run. And I think you look at the film at the high school level and Branson Robinson does a good job not doing that and letting everything open up the way it's supposed to be. And I mean, I think that's really undervalued, you know, skill set to have. So I didn't get to see Marshawn Lynch, you know, that's, he's before my time as a prospect, but what he does in NFL, that's exactly what Branson Robinson does on his high school film. Like I said, finding that one cut and making the right move, but being patient, decisive, especially on the outside run, being very stout at the point of attack. He's not a guy that one tackler can bring down very easily, if ever, you know, at the high school level. So if you look at the question marks with him, obviously we don't have people bring it up a lot. Looking at the ranking, why isn't he rated higher? You know, why isn't this guy the obvious number one running back in the class? He might be. It's just, does he have that home run speed? Does he have that consistent explosiveness to make multiple guys miss? And you know, is there some stiffness in there? You know, those are questions that he could still answer in his senior film. He could end up being the number one guy across the board. He definitely has the talent and the physical ability to be a lead back at Georgia and be very productive in college.
You know, he reminds me of two different guys. They both have the same first name, and kind of bits and pieces of his game. Obviously, from a physique standpoint and kind of that violent, you know, you watch him and you're like, man, this guy is like, he's every run is almost like he's trying to fight to the surface for air. Reminds me of Elijah Holyfield, just because, you know, I think he's faster. I think he's more explosive than Holyfield. I think he's bigger. And I think he's actually, you know, despite Elijah's, you know, massive frame and how well put together he was at a young age, I think Branson's actually significantly stronger. But with the way they're put together, it kind of reminds me of you know, they're kind of similar in that regard. And then Elijah Hood, who played at North Carolina. I mean, if you're talking about a guy 1,400 yards rushing, and I believe in the 2015 season, he was a tad bit taller than Branson Robinson, but a big physical downhill back, good speed, good lateral quickness. You know, maybe a little bit of stiffness there. Not a huge passing game threat. Can do some things in the passing game, but not really his calling card. You know, I think that's a guy that he really reminds me of as a college back. And you know, listen, things didn't pan out for Elijah Hood. I think he dealt with some injuries during his final game during his final season at North Carolina. But ultimately, he had a really good college career and had, you know, a couple of amazing years for North Carolina. So I think he's a guy that also you can kind of draw comparisons with. And listen, if you're going to open it up, Kip, and you know, this is kind of the last thing we want to hit on here. If you're going to open it up and you're going to be an offense that can throw it around and hit the open guy and kind of make spread teams out, make teams fear your passing game, what better type of guy would you want than a hammer that when teams feel like, hey, if you're in nickel, we may try to overcompensate a little bit, go with a third cornerback type, maybe put a liability against the run on the field at safety or at nickel. Why wouldn't you want to have a hammer type running back that maybe you don't even block that guy? Maybe you like your chances of your running back against one guy one-on-one in space, and you can get a numbers advantage that way. I mean, that's what you want. I mean, look at what Alabama did last year. Okay. You look at what Ohio State did last year. Both teams got to the national championship with a very big, very physical running back carrying the load. Najee Harris, Trey Sermon. You look at the year before with Tennessee. I mean, sorry, with Tennessee, with LSU. You know, you had Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, I know he's not a big guy, but a very physical guy, hard guy to bring down, very physical running back. Clemson wins the national title with Travis Etienne. Again, you want to have you want to have a dynamic running back, but what better guy to have if you're going to get these teams and these personnel issues than to have a guy who can just mash their teeth in. Oh. And that's the kind of back Branson Robinson is.
I love it. You just go four wide out there. If you're going to go single back like that and have them out spread out there, you need a guy that you can trust in pass pro, a guy who's not afraid to go in there and throw his weight into the pass rushers, got, you know, these edge rushers in the SEC, and, you know, maybe give them second thoughts about trying to get to Georgia's quarterback. And that's another skill set. I mean, you mentioned that maybe that's a question mark as far as where Branson Robinson is as a pass catcher. And I just think it's more, you know, just like with Nick Chubb coming in high school, we don't know that. We don't know where he is in that skill set yet. But as far as a guy that can go in there and not be afraid to pick up the blitzer and earn early snaps because of that, I think that's definitely Branson Robinson. He checks that box, and I think that's what's going to get him on the field immediately, you know, in 2022.
Good point, Kip. Good point. And listen, folks, that's all we got for this episode of the Junkyard Dogcast. Really glad you guys decided to listen. Hopefully we're going to get on to a little bit more of a regular schedule here and you know, see if we can keep from getting picked off by life, you know, at every turn. But we're excited to be back. We're excited to be get going, excited about the season. Not sure when preseason camp begins, but it's going to be soon. And then Georgia's going to – I'm told it's going to be in that first full week. I'm sorry, in August. We'll see when it actually begins. It's usually somewhere around August 1st. But we'll have that news for you over at Dawgs 24/7. We'll have this weekend covered as Georgia's having some unofficial and maybe even some official visitors on campus. Hopefully we'll get back to you later on and either, you know, preview or review what goes on there. But that's all we got for this one. I'm Jake Rowe with Dawgs 24/7. He's Kip Adams from the same place, and you guys take it easy.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.